You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, good morning, man. It's Pastor John. Welcome back to the podcast. So glad you could join us for today's episode. You know, at the church where I serve as a pastor, we have been going through a series in the book of James. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon on helping the helpless. And a verse in that sermon just really stood out to me. It's something that I've been chewing on, honestly, for about 3 weeks now. I feel like God has revealed some things in my own life related to this, and I can't imagine I'm the only guy who struggles with it. So let me just start out with the verse that kind of kicked this whole thing off. It's James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. James says, "Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you." Well, that sounds a little frightening. Pretty strong language there, right? He goes on, he says, "Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your silver and gold are corroded." So you'd almost feel like this is an indictment on wealth in general, that James is telling you, if you're rich, if you have wealth, you have terrible troubles ahead. But I don't think that is what James is saying. In fact, we continue in verse 3. He says, "The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire, and this corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment." And so I think that brings what James is saying into focus. He's not calling out an indictment on all wealth, but if you are counting on your wealth, right? He says the very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh. In other words, these rich people that James is addressing, they were trusting in, they were putting their hope in their wealth, not in the Lord. And then in the second part of that, he says, "This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment." Now, in the greater context of the book of James, he talks a lot about helping the helpless. And here he's telling these rich people that they have hoarded treasure. Now, here's where it gets really tricky, guys. And this is what I've just been chewing on for the last several weeks. There's no formula in Scripture, at least that I'm aware of, and I've been doing a lot of research on this. There's no formula to dictate the difference between hoarding and saving. In other words, I can't point to a verse, in the Bible, you know, that says if you saved X amount, you're just being wise. You know, you're saving, you're being a good steward of God's resources. But if you have more than X, well, now you're hoarding. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Just because there's no formula for it doesn't mean it isn't something we should be concerned about or shouldn't be concerned about. I don't want to be hoarding. I absolutely don't want to be, in God's eyes, a hoarder, but I do want to be wise. I want to be a good steward of the resources he's given me, and saving is a part of that. So that's kind of the first thing I want to point out. You know, saving is part of the faithful stewardship of the resources that God has given us. Now, I think a lot of the story of Joseph. If you know about Joseph, his brothers sell him into slavery. He becomes a servant in Potiphar's house, a slave in Potiphar's house. But because he does the right thing and won't have an affair with Potiphar's wife, he gets thrown in prison. He interprets the dreams of the cupbearer and the wine taster for Pharaoh, the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh. And he says, "Hey, remember me, guys. You know, when you're before Pharaoh," they forget. Pharaoh has these dreams, and the cupbearer remembers, "Oh yeah, this guy in prison named Joseph can interpret your dreams." So Pharaoh has Joseph brought before him. He tells him his dreams. It's these seven fat cows followed by these seven skinny cows. And then Joseph interprets it. And so I want to pick up this in Genesis chapter 41. Joseph says, "This will happen just as I have described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt, but afterward there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. This famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. As for having two similar dreams, It means that these events have been decreed by God and he will soon make them happen. So Joseph interprets the dreams and says, look, those fat cows and skinny cows and the wheat that looks healthy and then the bad wheat, this is what it means. And then Joseph gives Pharaoh some advice on what he should do because God is going to bring this 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Verse 33, therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man and put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh's storehouses. Store it away and guard it so that there will be food in the cities. That way there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come home to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, this famine will destroy the land. So we see this principle of saving when things are good, when there's prosperity, to prevent catastrophe when the lean times hit. And Joseph's actions saved literally millions of lives when the 7 years of famine hit. It's the mechanism God used to save Israel. Joseph's father, their family was saved because of this. Now, you might argue, yeah, I hear you, Pastor John, but this is descriptive. It's not prescriptive. This is just simply telling the story of what Joseph did. It's not a command for us to save. And I would say, I think that's a fair point. I do think it is primarily descriptive, but Joseph is lifted up as a good example to us in the narrative. And we see other places in Scripture where Joseph is praised for his wisdom and for saving. But if you're still not convinced, if you still think, no, that's descriptive, let's go to some passages that are prescriptive. So Proverbs 6:6-8 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. So again, we see this principle of gathering and saving, you know, storing up for when the lean times come. I'll give you another one, Proverbs 31:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows over time. Now, this idea of the wealth growing over time means saving. You know, it's talking about saving money, or at the bare minimum, it's reinvesting money into the business or into, you know, the farm or whatever it is that you're doing to generate that income. So again, we see the idea of saving. And then lastly, Proverbs 13:22. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. So another call for us to save. Now, I think for most of us, that's probably not the issue in this. That's not where I've been wrestling. I know the value of saving. Now, I'm not going to pretend I save maybe as well as I should all the time, but I have a certain amount of my income that, you know, we put away towards retirement. I'm blessed to work at an organization where the church, you know, matches. And so I think most of us realize saving is important. Most of us try to make that a habit, again, even though maybe we don't do it quite as often or to the extent as we should. So hopefully if you were wrestling with that, should I save it all? You know, is saving biblical? I could use more verses, but I think these passages demonstrate that saving is biblical. So back to our question at hand, how do I know when that saving has turned to hoarding? How do I know when I'm beginning to trust more in my wealth or even in my own abilities than I am in God's provision and in God's faithfulness? Here are just a couple of things I'd like us to consider. And again, guys, you know, this isn't black and white. This isn't cut and dry because there is no formula for it. And I think this is one of those areas where we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And we also need to be sensitive to the needs around us. We need to not have our blinders on. We need to not just be worried about ourselves and our family. So here's one thing that I would say. If we're not sharing with those in need when it's in our power to do so, that's a sign that we might be guilty of hoarding. I want to say that again because there is a caveat to that. When we're not sharing with those in need, when it's in our power to do so. The reality is sometimes it's not in our power. Sometimes we're the ones in need. We're the ones who need help. But if we're in a position to help those in need, even if it means some sacrifice on our part, even if it means giving up some of our, not necessarily basic necessities, but giving up our wants or our desires, and we never do that, then we could be guilty of hoarding. James talks about this in chapter 2, verse 15. He says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. So you see they have a need, right? I mean, in this example James is giving, you can tell they don't have clothing, you can tell they don't have food, but you're saying, hey, stay warm. You know, maybe even I'll pray for you. I'll pray that God does something, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. James says, what good does that do? Now, obviously, men, we should pray for those in need, but sometimes we are the answer to the prayer. You know, sometimes when we're praying for God to move in someone's life, God is like, I'm ready to move. Move. You be the answer to the prayer. You be the one to give them some money. You be the one to go over and help them fix their car. You know, you be the one to take them to a job interview. You be the one to get the word out that this individual needs work. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Again, I think this gives us some more pieces to the puzzle as we're trying to discern if we're saving or hoarding. There's a conditional aspect in this verse as well. Actually, two. The author of Proverbs says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. In other words, the call is not to answer every request for help. You know, we could spend 20 minutes talking about Paul's exhortations in the New Testament that if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, that he who doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an unbeliever. So this call to be generous doesn't mean that, you know, we're just generous to everyone all the time. We need to be wise. Again, we need to be good stewards. But he says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. So have they been doing what they can? Are they working hard and just can't seem to make ends meet? Have they had an illness in the family? You know, all these different factors that go into it. And then the second condition is when it's in your power to help them. Again, sometimes we're not in the position where we can help, or maybe we can't help to the extent that they need. But here's where I don't want us to say, well, yeah, all of my needs and all of my wants are not covered, so I can't help anyone until I'm in a safe place where everything I have is taken care of. I don't think that's the attitude either, guys. In Luke 3:11, John the Baptist is teaching, and he says, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Now think about that for a second. John didn't say, if you have seven shirts, give one to the poor. No, he just said, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. Now, again, I don't want to build a whole theology just on one verse, but I think the idea here is that our giving to the poor, our meeting the needs of those around us, our helping the helpless involves sacrifice. Do you sacrifice anything? Do you still get to do every single thing that you desire to do? Now, I recognize there are some people who are so wealthy that they can still be generous to those around them, they can still help the helpless and not have to sacrifice any of their own desires. But for most of us, sacrifice or lack thereof is a very good indicator if I'm saving or hoarding. We have a really close couple that are friends of my wife and mine that we went to church with for years, and they moved away, and in their home, down one of their hallways, they have pictures of all of the children they sponsor overseas. And I would bet there's at least 8 or 9 children that they sponsor overseas, maybe more. And next to those pictures, they have lettering painted on their wall that says, live simply so that others can simply live. Man, that hits home. We don't see it so much in our country because we're such a wealthy country. We've been so blessed by God. But there are many who literally may not live through the month because of starvation. And, you know, we have the attitude that if I give that extra $35 a month, I don't get to have my Starbucks every day. or I don't get to take my family out to eat two or three times a week, or whatever the situation is, are you sacrificing anything? Is there anything you're giving up so that others can simply live, or so that a brother or sister in the Lord has something they need? And I would just say, men, if we're not sacrificing anything, that's an indicator that we might be hoarding. Again, you know, every situation is different, and I can't use a black and white objective here, but if you're not sacrificing for the needs of others, I just want you to check your heart. You know, one of the pastors on staff where the church I work with, one of the things that I know he used to do every year, we had this season that we called Missions Week, and he and his wife would eat soup every night for dinner, I think for a full month. And the money that they saved on their grocery bill was the money they donated to Missions Week. Now, this guy makes a good income. You know, they live in a nice home. They drive nice cars. But he was willing to sacrifice. You know, he was willing to live out this idea of, you know, saving is good, and I want to be a good steward of God's resources, but I don't want to be hoarding. So what do you need to just honestly ask God, hey, would I be willing to lay this down at the altar so that I can help someone who's in a truly desperate situation? You know, maybe it is your Starbucks. You know, if you're a Starbucks everyday kind of person, maybe it's, you know, give up one or two days a week of the Starbucks and take that money and use it to sponsor a kid overseas, or take that money and use it to donate food to the food pantry in your community, or, you know, take that money and use it to build up a fund so that when someone in your church needs car work done, you know, you can offer to do that for them or have it done for them. So those are just some ideas. Are you sacrificing anything to help the helpless? Are you sharing with those in need when it's in your power to do so? And then I think the third thing to focus on in this is, where is your treasure? You know, are you trusting in your wealth? We kind of led off with that. Or are you trusting in the Lord? Have you been more focused on storing up treasures here on earth or storing up treasures in heaven? I think that's just a healthy thing to do, man, especially as men. We have this drive that God has given us to provide, which is good. I think that's a good thing. We have this drive to want to do well, to want to succeed. And, you know, in and of itself, I don't think there's anything wrong with that as long as it's in balance. I think that's part of our God-given nature to be men. But are we storing up treasures here on earth? You know, Jesus talks about that in Matthew 6, verse 19. He says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." And then here's verse 21. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." Where's your treasure, guys? You know, Jesus is not anti-wealth. I've said this on the channel before. Jesus is not anti-wealth at all, but Jesus would rather you have eternal wealth than temporal wealth, because that eternal wealth, moss can't destroy it, rust can't destroy it, thieves can't break in and steal it. These earthly treasures that we spend so much time trying to save up and trying to enjoy and trying to guard and protect, they can be gone in a moment. You know, just a cancer diagnosis or a fire in your home. And we all know the different things that could happen where all of a sudden all of these things that we've worked for and tried to save up for years are taken from us. And so where is your treasure? What do you get excited about? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? You know, I confess, with all this stuff going on and Iran and the way the market's been fluctuating and oil prices are dictating so much of that, I notice I've been checking my retirement accounts more regularly. I try not to check in on those on a regular basis. Now, you might say that's just me being a bad steward, but I just notice if I'm checking in on it, you know, every week or every other week, it can create anxiety. It's just where my focus is. I don't want my focus to be on that. I want my focus to be on the eternal things. I want my focus to be on storing treasures in heaven, because God wants me to save up, to store up those treasures in heaven that I get to enjoy with Him for eternity. So again, I can't point you to a specific verse this morning that's going to give you the formula for here's how much you save, here's how much you give away, you know, here's how much you give back to the kingdom. I just would encourage you to be Spirit-led. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this area and be honest. Be honest with yourself. Have you been hoarding? Be sensitive to the needs around you. Have you been praying for someone in your local congregation or maybe a neighbor or maybe a family member? Have you been praying for God to provide for them in some way, and all the while you could actually meet that need? It might make a sacrifice on your part. You might have to give up something. You might have to take a smaller vacation this year. You might have to forfeit your vacation this year. I know some of you cringe when I say that. Some of you are like, wait a minute, you know, God wants me to be happy. I do believe God wants you to experience joy in your life, which is different than happiness. And helping that person in need will give you as much or more joy than that vacation will. Now, again, if you listen to the channel, you know I'm not against great vacations. My family was just blessed to be able to go down to Florida for a week earlier this month. It was an incredible time. But I say this carefully because I don't want it to sound like I'm bragging, but there has been a time, I don't want to exaggerate, where we chose not to take a vacation that year because we wanted to meet some physical needs of family members. And so this is something I'm still growing in, guys. I'm still learning where that balance is between saving and hoarding myself. But I think it's something that just because it's not easy, just because there is no formula for it, doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned about it. And when I stand before God one day, I would much rather him ask me, why were you so generous? You could have saved more, versus why were you so stingy? So that's my thoughts on this issue. I pray that you guys would just be able to dig into the Word and be led by the Spirit to come to some conclusions for yourself and what that means for you. Because obviously we're all different. You know, we all have different needs as far as how large our family is, what stage of life our family's in, you know, what our income level is. So again, guys, this isn't a one-size-fits-all solution, but be serious about it. Ask God, you know, reveal to me, God, if I've moved from saving to hoarding. Reveal to me, God, if I've moved from being a good steward to being stingy. Hope you'll have a conversation with another man in your life that could hear this. We'll see you guys on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.